2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 3 and verses 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Can you say amen? You may be seated. This is part 6 of another gospel. Folks, you have to know that if there is a real, there is going to be a counterfeit. Amen. The counterfeit is out there. As a matter of fact, we live in an unprecedented time in the history of mankind because there actually is more counterfeit today than there is real. There is more false out there than there is real. And it absolutely is necessary that we that believe and adhere and preach the truth and we expose the false at all costs. We must preach against it. We must study. We must be approved of God. We must rightly divide the word of truth. We must do everything in our power to expose the false. One preacher called it jerking off, amen, the sheepskins. Pulling the sheepskins off of the wolves. Amen. I want you to know there's some sheepskins out there covering some wolves, and we must pull off those sheepskins and expose the wolves for what they really are.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now my concern this morning and throughout this series of messages is not with the deception that has entered into the Baptist church or the Lutheran church or the Methodist church. My concern is the deception that is entering into Pentecostal churches. Amen. Why? Because that's the circles that you and I, amen, operate in. Amen. I'm concerned when we see those same errors that are out there in our Pentecostal churches.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's what I'm dealing with. Amen. I preached in this series. We preached on repentance, the blood of Jesus, the Lordship of Christ, the fear of the Lord, the law and the Christian, the ecumenical movement, the prosperity movement. We preached on judging, and we preached on sin and holiness. Today we want to deal with, amen, with worship. We want to talk about worship, and we want to talk about the authority of Scripture. I want you to know, folks, there's not a one of us in here that doesn't believe that worship is important. Amen. I'm glad for worship. I'm glad that I come here. We talk about this being a worship service. Why? Because it's dedicated, amen, to worshiping the Lord. I didn't come here, amen, to lift up the flesh. I come up here in this building this morning and gathered with God's faithful. Oh, I can worship the Lord. I come to lift His name up. I come to give Him the glory. This is not a human effort. This is a divine effort. I'm not here to glorify humanity. I'm here to glorify Christ. He and He alone deserves all the praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's much of what is called worship today that is fleshly, carnal, and selfish. God demands worship, but worship must come from the heart. It must not be, something I do methodically, something I do because I'm required to do it. I must worship the Lord because I'm in love with Him. I must worship Him because He's everything to me. If you make a man or woman worship, that worship will never be real. But if that worship comes from their heart, it'll be genuine and it will be what God's looking for. I'm glad for true worship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Worship must flow out of a relationship with God, or else that worship is unknown of God. Amen. God does not know, amen, worship from those that don't know Him. He only knows worship from those that have a relationship with Him. Amen. Sister Misty, I have a relationship with Jesus. I live for Him all week. I talk to Him all week. I do my best to walk with Him every single day. Therefore, when I come here on a Sunday morning, amen, and worship, that worship is known of God because He knows me. Well, come on, somebody. Amen. Strangers can't worship God. Only those in a relationship can worship Him.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah. Listen to me. Worship is the normal response of those that are nigh unto God and utterly in love with Him. It's the normal response. I don't have to make myself worship God. It naturally flows out of me. I worship Him because I'm a worshiper.
Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Any attempt to worship God without having a relationship with Him is no different than a man thinking that he's giving and receiving love in a prostitute relationship. There is no love between the prostitute and the man hiring her, for they are both strangers. For one, it is all about money. For the other, it is all about fulfilling the lust. Neither will last very long, or eventually the money will be wasted and the lust will be unsatisfied. I want you to know, I don't treat my God like a prostitute. I have a relationship with Him. I'm in love with Him. I've made a covenant with Him. I've made a commitment with Him. When I come in here, amen, I'm worshiping a God I've been in love with all week long. I've been walking with every day. That is what true worship is. Anybody that's been dabbling with that world all week long, been playing the harlot with the world, amen, and then they're going to come in here and throw their hands up and act like they love Jesus, I want you to know God sees right through that. You'll never fool this God. He's looking for you to love Him, not just on Sunday morning, but love Him all week long.
Amen.
Amen. True love can only be expressed in a committed relationship. Come on, somebody. I said true love can only be expressed in a committed relationship. As a side note to that, I want to say here that the Bible soundly condemns adultery and fornication. Marriage, amen, requires a commitment. To worship Christ, you must first repent and be born again and enter into a committed relationship with God Almighty.
Amen.
Well, glory. Amen. I thank God for true love. You young people, this is maybe a little bit of a rabbit trail. I'm going to tell you, if that young man or that young woman loves you, they'll wait till they can say, I do at the altar.
Amen.
They'll wait till there's a commitment. Come on. Amen. You may convince yourself that's love, but that's not love, that's lust. Amen. I didn't come in here to worship God in lust. I come in here to worship Him in love. Well, come on. I'm in love with Him. I loved Him on Monday. I loved Him on Tuesday. I loved Him on Wednesday. I loved Him on Thursday. I loved Him on Saturday. Oh, come on, Friday. I loved Him on Saturday. And it's right when I come in here and love Him on Sunday morning. That's a relationship. There's nothing more disgusting than people that live worldly think that they can offer God praise. Hallelujah. It's disgusting. Well, come on, somebody. Today there's much false in worship. People arrive at religious gatherings after having spent the week in fleshly pursuits and think they can offer God holy worship. They attempt to praise a God that they never pray to. Come on. They lift hands into a God that just days before they cursed and profaned. Oh, they sing songs about God on Sundays while listening to songs about barrooms, lust, adultery, sex, and drinking all week long.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship is much more than just a Sunday activity. I don't worship him just Sunday a.m. or Sunday p.m. Our life is worship unto God. He said, worship me in the beauty of holiness. Give unto God the glory due unto his holy name. I worship him by living a life that's holy unto him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Worship is the way of life for the Christian. Worship is not just what we do, it is who we are. Hallelujah. How can we expect God to bless our worship when that worship is something other than what the Bible commands? Here is the danger that we're facing today in self-centered worship. Number one, come as you are worship. Listen to me carefully. Amen. The danger, number one, come as you are worship. What started out as a message to sinners inviting them to church services has now turned into a way of worship in most churches. Now the come as you are message has evolved into a no perfect people allowed message. It is constantly being stressed in these churches that we're all just sinners, and even Christians are sinners, and God wants us to worship him in our sin. I want you to know God only accepts holy worship. He said lift up holy hands. Even you can't lift up hands that are stained with sin. Repentance must remove the stain of sin from our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come as you are worship is not the worship described in the Bible. I don't come just any old way to worship God. If I do, I might be in danger of being judged by God.
Amen.
Amen. Number two, strange fire is better than no fire. I'm talking about an attitude. Number one, come as you are worship. Number two, strange fire is better than no fire. In an attempt to have exciting services that are over the top, church leaders will go to any length. They have adopted modern music styles that are clearly worldly. The words to songs are ambiguous and barely have a shred of spirituality to them. The shouting, the dancing, the commotion is all out of order and clearly fleshly. Some pastors believe that it's better to have fleshly worship than no worship at all. I say that what's really needed is repentance, and once a proper job has been done, then we can worship God. Hey, well, come on. Let me add a word of warning here. We as Christians should never react in a worship service in a seductive or sensual manner. Swaying the hips and strutting your stuff is not holy worship, but strange fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's the truth.
Yes, sir.
Well, glory. I tend to close my eyes sometimes. Oh, God. Come on, I don't want to see that sister shaking her stuff. Come on, somebody. We want to call that holy worship. That ain't holy, folks. I know sometimes it's done in ignorance. I understand that. Amen. You turn music on and little babies will want to bebop to it. Well, glory. It's just in us to do that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when I worship, I'm very conscious and mindful of how I show myself to my brother and my sister. Amen. I don't want strange fire. Well, come on. We're not here to do the bump or the jitterbug. We're here to worship a holy God. I'm not against shouting. I'm not against running. I'm not against jumping. I'm not against getting happy in the Lord. But I don't ever want it to cross the line into the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Well, glory. The modern charismatic movement has endorsed a drunken philosophy of worship. Come on. Hallelujah. Men like John Wimber and others, amen, have endorsed. Amen. They get up in the pulpit and say, we're all going to just straddle up to Joel's bar tonight. Speaking of the prophet Joel. We're going to straddle up to Joel's bar and we're going to get ourselves a drink tonight. That's not holy worship. That's taken the activity of the world and tried to explain something spiritual, and it just don't always suffice. I want you to know He will pour His Spirit out in the last days on the old men and the young men, on the servants and the handmaidens. Amen. He will pour out the Holy Ghost upon all flesh, just as Joel said and just as Peter said was happening. Amen. At Acts chapter 2, this is a spiritual worship. Amen. And what I do in here is not the same as what the drum does on the bar stool. I'm worshiping a holy God, and I can't ever lose, amen, that emphasis.
Amen.
Talking about worship, we need a revolution of worship. Now, I'm Pentecostal to the bone, Brother Terry. Some people don't like the way we worship. Woo! One man visited this church during camp meeting. He told Brother Jonathan, he said, "Man, that was church." He never came back though. He said, "We don't do it like that at our church." Come on, somebody. We don't mind worshiping God. We don't mind expressing that worship. I love it when people scream and holler in the spirit. Come on. I have no problem with that. I've been around that all my life. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, you know the difference. I know when it's of God, and I know when it's all that person.
Amen.
There's times I've seen sisters and brothers get happy in the Lord, and my soul rejoiced with them. There's other times I've seen individuals, amen, cut up and act up, amen, and my stomach was hurt. I felt like I was about to vomit. What was the difference? Amen. One was an expression of joy that rose out of a holy relationship, and the other was an expression of flesh that was only meant to be seen. Amen. I didn't come here for you to see me. I come here for Him to see me. I come here to worship. Worship a holy God.
Amen.
Amen. Number one, come as you are, worship. Number two, strange fire is better than no fire. Let me tell you, strange fire is never good.
Amen.
Number three, songs with no message. I've listened to these songs. And folks, you don't know if they're singing about being in love with God or being in love with a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Amen.
They never mention Jesus. They never mention the blood. They never mention the holy God of heaven. It's all about, I'm in love with Him. He makes my heart go all aflutter. Amen. He makes goosebumps run up and down my spine. Well, who is He? Is that the God of heaven? Or is that the guy with dark hair down the road? Come on, somebody. I tell you, I want a song with a message. I want a song that tells me about a Jesus that hung on the cross, about a Lord that rose from the grave. Amen. I want to hear about the blood that dripped from His hands and His feet. I want to hear about a God that's alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Woo. It's real easy to get caught up in that. There's some songs that are ambiguous at best that have blessed me. But for the most part, we must not compromise this message to reach people that are offended by religious terminology. We can't do that. Number four, the celebrity is no longer Jesus. Talking about self-centered worship. Number one is come as you are worship. Number two, strange fire is better than no fire. Number three, songs with no message. Number four, the celebrity is no longer Jesus. I use that term celebrity very carefully here. But I use it because it's something we're familiar with. Who are they kidding? People flock by the thousands to these contemporary Christian music concerts. And there's no difference in what goes on at that concert than what goes on at worldly concerts. Come on. The people on the stage is the attraction.
Amen.
Amen. It's not Christ. Amen. The people flock to that auditorium not because Jesus is there, but because some singing group is there. Amen. The singers, amen, dress worldly. Their hairstyles are worldly. Their songs are worldly. Their music is worldly. And we're expected to believe that they're not worldly. How ludicrous. Of course they're worldly. Remember the old adage? Amen. If it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, then it must be a duck. If it looks like the world, if it talks like the world, if it dresses like the world, if it sings like the world, it must be the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, glory. Come on. I know this is hard, but we need it.
Amen.
Number five, the worship team. There's nothing as unbiblical as a worship team.
Amen.
The use of the term team, worship team, makes it clear that those in the team are performers and everyone else sitting in the pew are spectators. Sounds a lot like a football game, doesn't it? Amen. True worship is for the whole church and not just for a team. Amen. Amen. That's what the... Well, come on, somebody. I know that some have defended this and have claimed that they're just splitting hairs over the word team and that the group is really like cheerleaders with the purpose of encouraging God's people to worship. My response is this: why would anyone in love with Jesus need to be cheered to worship God? Amen. You don't have to tell me I need to worship God. If I love Him, I know I do. Amen. You don't have to cheer me on. I'm in love with this Jesus. He took my sins away. He put my name in the book of life. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I love worshiping Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory. Maybe we are being a little particular about the word. But if you go to churches with worship teams, you'll find that over time, these people take on a performer attitude. Dan Lucarini says this in his book, Why I Left the Contemporary Christian Music Movement. And I got it in my library. This is what he says, quote, Am I the only one who has noticed that some of the ladies in the worship teams are performing special music, are wearing provocative dresses or tight revealing clothing and doing so on the platform in full view of the congregation? They are imitating secular female artists who dress that way purposely to tease and tempt men. This ain't a Pentecostal that wrote this. Come on now. Somebody that has more in common with the Baptist church and the Pentecostal church. Amen. But he recognized, he was in that contemporary Christian music for years. Wrote songs, performed. Amen. Was in charge of music ministry in large churches in several cities of America. And he said one day, a Holy Ghost got to dealing with him and said, Something's wrong with this picture, son. Amen. It's not me, it's them. It's not about me anymore. It's about the person.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Last, number six. What do I get out of worship? This is the other problem that is so prevalent today. Some worship God with the attitude that I will force God to give me what I want by doing this. That should never be our motive to worship. Worship is not about getting what we want, but giving God what He deserves. When you have an ulterior motive of getting what you want because of your worship, then your worship is no longer freely given and ceases to be true worship. Now, we may not vocalize that, but we put on a show for God. So, God, I need an answer this week. I'm going to really shout this morning and show you how much I love you. That ought to never be the motivating factor of me lifting my hands.
Amen.
Or me shouting or praising God or whatever I do. I don't worship God to twist His arm and make Him feel guilty enough to give me what I want. I worship Him because He deserves the highest praise. Well, glory. Jesus said it so well in John 4 and 23 and 24. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want you to know from this passage we understand the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is not looking for worship, but rather He's looking for worshipers. Amen. Come on. Amen. God knows that if He gets a worshiper, worship will come out of worshipers. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody can lift a hand. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, somebody has to have a relationship. Amen. To be called a worshiper.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm a worshiper, Brother Steve. Therefore, worship flows automatically out of who I am. Amen. God deserves the highest praise. Amen. I don't have to be twisted or potted or poked. Amen. To worship this God. I worship Him because, oh, heaven worships him. He is the only one that deserves it. In heaven this morning, amen, I can tell you there's four beasts around the throne, and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Amen. Come on, somebody. They're singing, "Holy, holy, holy." They're not singing, "Love, love, love." They're singing, "Holy, holy, holy." Amen. This God deserves the highest praise. Yes. Amen. I'm not going to get to the next point, but that's all right. We'll do it next time. Too much needs to be said about this. We need a revolution of worship. We need a revival of worship. Amen. True worship comes out of true worshipers. Amen. God is a spirit, so therefore all worship that flows to this God must be spiritual. Amen. Somebody said, how can clapping hands be spiritual? It can only be spiritual if it's motivated by a relationship you have with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I can tell you there's a crowd mentality in many churches. The mega church has propagated this idea. Amen. Most church services today resemble a concert more than a first century church service. Hallelujah. Amen. There's big crowds. There's lots of fine musical instruments. There's people on the stage and cheering you on. Amen. They got the best singers in the house. But God's nowhere in sight. Amen. I didn't come to this building this morning. That's dedicated for church people. Amen. The church is not a building. It's a people. I didn't come to this building this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. To put on a show or to have or to witness a show. I come here to be with God's people. I come here because I love you and you love me. But most of all, we love Him. Amen. And when we begin to sing and play these instruments, we don't respond to that in a fleshly manner. We respond in worship unto God Almighty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Respond to that. Hallelujah. Thank God. He deserves it. I don't have to have music to worship God.
Amen.
I like it. But I don't have to have it.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Sometimes it ain't been me and him in the truck going to work. Hallelujah. Don't even have a radio or music or anything on. But I worship him.
Sure.
Ooh. If you have to have outside sources to help you to worship at all times, then you need to get in that closet of prayer until it becomes more than just a response to singing.
Amen.
And music. I'm not saying that song and music don't at times inspire us. Not, God forbid. I'm inspired by it too, Sister Misty. I love it. Amen. But I can tell you, it's not just about a response, amen, an emotional response to some type of emotional stimuli. It's, amen. It flows out of my spirit. Oh, glory. It's not just a fleshly apparition. Amen. It is a supernatural response to a supernatural God. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In the book of Revelation, John was brought to the temple, and the angel was told to measure. And he said, measure the temple, the altar, and measure them that worship therein. I can tell you the measuring rod was not laid on what they did, but who they are. Measure the worshiper. Hallelujah. Don't measure their worship. Measure the worshiper. Amen. We've been measuring worship, and God's always been measuring worshipers. Well, glory. We've been trying to decide if a person's spiritual by what they did, when God decides if they're spiritual by who they are to Him. Well, glory. My relationship, amen, is what decides how spiritual I am. I'd get up here and preach, amen. I'd carry on, and I can, amen, it may look exciting, amen, but it ain't my preaching that makes me spiritual. It's my relationship to God. Well, glory. There's men that can preach better than I. Amen. They're so gifted. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, they live worldly and precarious lives. They're not spiritual. They're just very gifted. Hallelujah. Spirituality is more than performance. It's a relationship. Hallelujah. I want a relationship with God, and I want to worship Him out of that relationship. Stand with me all over this building. Hallelujah.